Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am your father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 384, Solo, A Star Wars Story, our part two.
Yeah, okay.
So it's not Solo, it's Duo for us.
Yes.
Okay. We'll go with that.
So before we get too far afield, let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Shockingly, we are still Danless. But
he came back for part two.
Halfway through.
Kind of a dick move to like, I'll stroll in for part two. But
I had to go for a run.
Yeah. Just a real quick shameless plug. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. And you can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/realspoilers. Or you can get all sorts of extra bonus content at patreon.com/realspoilers. There. The work is out of the way.
Good job.
We left off with the, we had just set eyes upon Lando Calrissian.
And he is, I mean.
This is the best casting ever.
Yeah, easily.
To replace someone, like if the Han Solo, Aiden Einrich, would have looked and sounded and felt like Han, like Harrison Ford, like no one would have had any doubts. You know what I mean? And
right.
Again, you get used to it. And I think he does work in this film. But like Lando, no one was ever like, "Oh, that's not Billy." Like
he knew
perfect,
exactly,
right?
Yeah,
so you're like,
exactly who
it fits so well. And like Joe mentioned on the last episode, when you hear his voice, if your eyes are closed, you might think it's Billy Dee. Like,
yeah, he was perfect.
Clearly, he studied the cadence. He worked really hard to get the not just the sound, but even the charisma, the swagger,
just like the smooth. Like Billy Dee was smooth.
He was drinking a Colt 45.
I was going to make the Colt 45 joke. Works every time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they sit down and they're playing Sabacc, and Han, doing the Han thing, like lets on that he's like, oh, I've played it once or twice, you know. So the goal is they're trying to. So Lando has retired; he's no longer a smuggler, but he's got the Falcon.
Oh, so they're trying
kind
to get.
Of. Yeah, I like that.
Right.
They're trying to get this unrefined plutonium, whatever the MacGuffin.
Unobtainium.
Yeah, unobtainium.
Yeah.
And Daenerys says, oh, well, if it's unrefined, like it's unstable and there's no way you'll process it in time. You need to get it to blah, 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 island and,
right.
you know, and
process
it. And so she's like, I know a guy with a ship fast enough. And so, of course, this is where he's going to somehow.
It's the Kessel Run is what we're getting to. So he sits down there playing and he's doing some verbal judo where he's trying to trick Lando into like betting the Falcon. And he does it. He ends up.
Because he puts his fake ship
his
on
fake
the line.
Ship on the line. And of course, Lando. And they're going back and forth. Like they've knocked everybody else out of this game. It's these two guys are going back and forth.
And there's tons of people watching. It's a really fun scene. It's really well done. Also, in this place, I think, is this the place or next where we get the Rance Howard?
Clint
Howard. I'm so sorry. Yeah. Rest in peace, Rance Howard. Is that the place they go
it's
to?
It's this place.
Is it?
Yeah, because he's running
the robot,
he's running
fighting,
robot
right?
fights.
Yeah, so it's like, yeah. Of course, Ron Howard directs a movie.
Right,
yeah. Yeah, got to get his brother in there, so that was pretty funny. But yeah, there's like this, it's like an underground battle bots arena.
Right, right. And
it's
of
just
course,
a sleazy little bar, cantina, betting parlor type. Yeah. Yeah.
So they're going back and forth, and Han has him on the ropes, and he throws down the perfect hand.
Yeah.
And
they also cut to something to where you're like, what was that? Like, they right. do show you that, you know.
Lando has always walked that line of being not a good guy, but he's a
hustler.
He's a hustler.
Yeah.
And he's got like a
he
little.
He looks out for number one.
Right. He's got a little like a card sleeve.
Yeah. He's got the De Niro taxi driver.
Right.
thing, but yeah.
it's for cards. This
green Sabacc card or whatever that it's like you get it. It's like Uno, you yell out Sabacc or something.
Right,
you know,
you
whatever
win.
This game is. We don't know. But he clearly, you see a little device up his sleeve. And so Han has him. And then he's like, huh, that would be good, but I've got Sabacc. And
he loses. And of course, they have a little interaction at the bar where he's just like, where's my ship?
Yeah.
And he was like, well, it's not here exactly.
I'm glad they did that too, because setting up for the other part of the movie where they have the second card game, because you would feel bad if like Han puts up a ship and like legitimately loses it and never has it and never gives it to him, but yet he wins his ship.
Right.
So I'm really glad that they set him up as this smarmy like cheater, because it makes it pay off later.
It does.
Otherwise, I was going to be like, that's not fair that he wins his ship, but yet he owes him this crazy. I like that.
So they go to the bar, and of course, Lando sees Kira, and they have an interaction where they know each other, and
they don't serve my kind here. Like, some of the things are a little bit.
We've got the robot who is fighting for robot rights,
right?
Equal pay and equal.
And I don't know if that's like preachy or undermining people who are fighting for their rights.
I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like,
yes,
you could kind of see it through both prisms.
Absolutely.
It's kind of trivializing.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if they're trying to make a statement with this, because it is written like this. Yeah, this, it's all about rights. They say it over and over, and then eventually this robot frees a bunch of people, and
right.
you're just like, what are they trying
what
to
is
do
happening
with this?
Here?
But I also kind of like the fact that I also wonder if this is left over from the original version, like, because I could see it playing funnier in there. But I do like the fact that they address these robots are so smart and can interact at such a high level.
Well, this is our second droid.
That it would make sense that at some point you would have some that would start to almost be sentient.
Well, I mean, we've got the Alan Tudyk droid from
this is
Rogue
clearly
One.
Going to be a thing where we have a smart ass, almost sentient, you know, free thinking droid where.
Right.
I'm like, okay, I really don't need one of these every movie. So like, if we can kind of like,
if
maybe the next
the
one doesn't
have one.
If they
can just say to the Star Wars stories.
Yeah, like, maybe in those. I just, you know, because it's like clearly this is the result of that K3 or K2, whatever, who was hilarious. But it's
K2,
like.
K2, isn't that fake weed?
It is. But
it is. But I think it's.
C2? No.
No. It's K. It's either K3
or KSO or
KS2.
I don't know.
KRS1?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's Alan Tudyk.
Yeah.
Is what it was.
Alan Tudyk bot. Yeah. So it's like clearly they're doing this thing where they want to have a funny robot. And this robot is funny. And the actor is Phoebe Waller-Bridge, who's been in some TV shows like Fleabag on Amazon. A couple others, you're couch surfing or whatever that is.
Crashing.
There you go. That's right. Couch surfing.
It's
a synonym, right? So she's funny in this role, but she sounds exactly like Gwendolyn Christie.
Yep, that's who I thought it was.
You know, who's in the other Star Wars movies. And so I thought naturally, okay, well, it's, you don't, not that you see her in those movies, but still I'm like, okay, they could carry a voiceover.
Sure.
But she sounds just like her.
Yeah, she's got the same, I don't know what part of Britain she's from, but she has definitely like the same.
The cadence is the delivery.
Yeah.
But anyway, so she has a good job and she's funny, but yeah, this robot is very free thinking.
Yes.
And also there's something going on, like literally they even show us like between Lando and this robot.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they don't show us.
No, but it's
not alluded to. Like they clearly like.
There's been some man on robot action.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where she's like,
I did like the line where she's like, clearly she's talking. I don't know if she's talking to
it's Amelia Clarke.
Yeah, yeah. Where, you know, where she, Kira, where she's like, yeah, clearly I don't, you've obviously noticed the tension or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, he likes me, but I'm not interested in him.
Well,
like,
she also goes,
sometimes I think maybe, but
yeah.
Yeah. But Amelia Clarke's just like, well, how would that work?
Yes. Oh, it works.
Oh, it works.
Yeah.
That's the line.
And I think, again, that's like a Lord Miller type of interaction.
Yeah.
That's
absolutely.
So they sprinkle in some good humor, but again, it's not nonstop. Whereas at times I felt Ragnarok got a little bit much, and upon other viewings, like, I do like the movie, but it felt sometimes like, okay, we get it, joke. This movie is very sparingly.
It's like the Avengers.
Yeah, where it works.
The humor is natural.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
Lando has an interaction with Tobias, and Tobias, like, they have a little bit of history.
You gotta call him Beckett,
like,
Beckett, so I don't think of Tobias Fünke.
Okay. Beckett, Woody Harrelson, where it's obvious that there's a little bit of familiarity between the two. So Lando's just like, I'll take 40%, and then he comes back with 25, and then it drops to 20 when they get to the Falcon. And
it's been impounded.
It's been impounded. And it was interesting. Like,
and
so
he plays it off like, that's, huh, I don't know how did that happen?
Yeah. It is interesting. Like, when they pan up from the Falcon, the initial viewing. But I'm looking at it and I was like, it doesn't look right. Like, why doesn't that look? There's something wrong with the Falcon.
It's clean.
No, they jettison off the escape pods.
Well, later. Oh, because you don't see them in ours.
It's like a V. The version of the Falcon I've always seen is the front has like those two points that come out with the space in between. Right. Well, when you initially see it, there's no space.
Yeah.
And I was like, why does
they
that look so
later
weird?
On that
and
he then drops them, yeah.
He drops the escape pods.
But it is clean,
then,
though. They
yes,
messed this thing up.
That is
and,
true.
And because he says the line, he's like, oh, you've really cleaned this thing up, and there's add-ons or
he's
whatever.
He's got like a wet bar and all kinds
of
stuff.
I love that. We added a wet bar.
It's my birthday. Yeah. It's my birthday.
So, yeah, they go, and they're going to this place. They're going to nowhere is pretty much what this thing looks like. How do they get it? Amelia Clarke acts like she has captured Han and Chewie.
Mm-hmm.
And Woody Harrelson wearing the Lando disguise.
Yeah,
Jedi.
Because I thought it was going to be Lando at first. I'm like, oh my gosh, he just has this disguise. And it was really dark, so you couldn't tell. Like, I think they purposely maybe didn't want to show you who, or it was just our theater. But I could not tell who was under the face was so dark.
Yeah, I thought it was very... But, that's a good nod.
Yeah, but it's clearly Lando's disguise, which was great.
Right. So they have this idea, this plot, where Emilia Clarke will trade Han and Chewie for money, basically. So let's see. Emilia Clarke gets kind of scurried away to go with like the guy who runs this little mining community.
She pretends that she's some kind of a governmental.
Liaison?
Yeah, exactly. She's like there on behalf of someone that wants to trade.
She was there for Voss. Maybe not.
I don't think it was him. I think she was really playing up that she was some random, political whatever.
Like,
but
dignitary.
Yeah. And this thing wants to trade two of these fine workers for these spices that they have on there.
Spices.
And I liked it.
Well, she said they had had more slaves to trade, but that these were
the
samples.
Two of the best. Right.
Of the quality of slaves.
There you go.
She had.
And so I like it that when she goes into there's a control room with monitors, and they're getting shocked with these things. And they're basically like, yeah, we have a way of like,
breaking these,
our workers, and it's harsh, but very effective. And they're just getting shocked and poked nonstop.
I do. So they get on this elevator, and Han and Chewie turn on the two guards, and Chewie tears the guy's arms off.
Yeah.
And Han's just like, great. The one outfit that I needed to wear would have fit me perfectly.
I love that. That's what upsets him too. Yeah. That he's like, you ruined the outfit. Yeah.
I do like that he tears his arms off. That's a Wookiee thing.
It is
that's
a Wookiee thing. Yeah, and he is playing on the Falcon. He is playing.
And then he waved him in the air like he just didn't care.
Well, that's what Wookiees do.
Yeah,
he's playing the game
that you never beat, whatever it is.
Yeah,
holochess.
Yeah, never beat a Wookiee. That's what it is. So then, like, the monitor goes down, and, like, chaos kind of ensues, and then all of a sudden...
Emilia Clarke kicks ass.
She does.
She chokes a guy with Lando's cape. She's wearing one of his capes.
Right.
We see on the ship that Lando has a closet.
Was it a CGI cape?
That was a physical cape, I believe. Yeah.
A real cape.
The waving was off by... No, she, like, there's a funny moment because it's the first intimate moment we've seen between Solo and Kira. And so, like, they're kissing, and of course, Harrelson's like,
am I interrupting? Yeah. And they're just like, yeah.
But I love the closet full of it. She's like, this is too many capes. Like, yeah, that's a lot of capes.
I was hoping that we would see, like, the powder blue.
The one she's wearing, I'm pretty sure, is one of Lando's main capes, though.
Oh,
the
really?
Blue one. I thought it was black and red. No, when she she's wearing a blue one at first, and I'm like, that's a clear nod. Like, that's one of his trademark capes.
I wanted to see like the powder blue, yellow.
And yellow on the other side, right. That we've seen him in that blue one, though.
Yeah. So they all kind of play their parts, and they take out everybody. And now,
meanwhile, Lando's like giving his memoirs on the show. Because I'm like, where's Lando? And they cut back to him, and he's a little hologram. Because I'm like, what is he doing?
He's like the Calrissian Diary or Chronicles or whatever. And he's like, oh, I can never get a moment alone.
Yep. Always something.
Always something. So they get what they need, and then they head back to the Falcon, and this is where they take off. At the same time, L3 has started a revolution on this planet, which has drawn the attention of
the Empire.
The Empire. So she actually gets killed. Like, this droid gets... It's such a weird scene because I didn't know how to react. Like, am I supposed to laugh at this?
Is it supposed
to be funny, or is it, like, supposed to be...
It was weird.
It was weird, right?
Because... I get all for like people doing their thing and being attracted to who they like, but like, this is a robot. And like, I don't know. It was weird because Lando, it's like a lover dying in his arms. Like, he is
like he pulls her from the hips up and like pulls her hips off.
This is the one moment that really kind of took me out of it, just because I didn't feel the emotion they were trying to get from it.
I think some of it is because you can't get that emotion from the robot.
That's true.
Yeah.
So it's
unless you're Scarlett Johansson.
I mean, Glover was doing a great job acting, but I couldn't feel sorry for this robot exactly. And then also this part that really was frustrating, and they kind of address it later, but I'm like, it's a robot, like it's dead, but like you pull its CPU out or its hard drive
to build another one.
Like, you can build another body and put its brain in it, and they actually do address it, but I'm like, this is dumb. Like, it's not gone forever. Take its head, bring it back to the ship, and download it, right?
Right. And they took its head.
Oh, took its head.
So anyway,
I thought it was in poor taste that when L3 died, they changed her name to L8.
Well, it's what you got to do. it's just her coding, you know. What are you gonna do?
And then, meanwhile, Chewbacca has freed some other a weird looking Wookiee. It was kind of like a strange looking Wookiee. But luckily, they had to free it because these huge canisters are like they look like they're
Han's trying to push it himself, and it's not working.
There's a good little fight where the guards are trying to fight like all the freed people and the heroes, and like they're knocking things around. The Wookiees are fighting, and like some of this unobtainium is like knocked off, and he's trying to catch it and push it back on the thing, but
it's highly volatile.
It's like he's trying to catch it before it hits, and they're not taking any notice to what they're throwing around. And
correct,
good little action sequence.
Yeah, they get everything onto the Falcon. But Lando's been shot, so he can't fly the Falcon, and this is where we get Han flying the Falcon for the first time.
The flyboy's time to shine.
That's right.
Make sure they say flyboy plenty of times.
You have to say that, like, that's a given. And this, so they take off, and Emilia Clarke is initially his co-pilot, and she does something that...
Never mind. Go for it.
Well, she does something where she can't get something to work, and then Chewie just kind of leans over her and just like, bloop, 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 and everything pops on. And I do like where he's just like, I didn't know you were a pilot. And Chewie makes a sound. He's like, 191 years old? You look pretty good. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I wish they hadn't given that
in the trailer.
Yeah,
trailer that I have seen, like I've seen that little clip where it's like, but you know, that's what sells movies.
That's what sells movies.
People don't care. Some people I found
because people wouldn't have gone to this otherwise.
Some people I found this weird thing where like people actually want to know entire plots of movies before they go see it. Like, not people that will never see the movie.
I don't mind knowing like the synopsis.
No, the entire plot.
I don't need to put
beat for beat. Like, some people are like, I don't want to be surprised. Like, I don't like surprises. Let me know what I'm going to go see. Where I'm like, that is foreign.
So
I'm like, I don't want to watch the trailers. And they're like, I don't want to see the movie without knowing everything that will happen. Okay.
I don't even mind getting like, this is Han Solo, his origin story. Here you go. Thank you. Okay. That's good enough.
I put that together. That's about
so
it.
So they're making their way through. And then as they're cutting through like this storm, basically, which I thought was kind of cool. Like, there's a pathway through the storm, and it's lit by basically street lights is kind of what they are, and you have to follow the path out. And when they get to the path, they realize that there's a giant Star Destroyer headed their way. And I do like where Solo's just kind of like, we're just a little scavenger ship. I used to work for these guys.
Yeah,
they're not gonna send any TIE fighters out after us. And then all of a sudden,
they're not
going to
waste a TIE fighter.
Waste a TIE fighter. And then here comes like six of them.
Yeah.
And she's just like, really? And he's like, wow, dang it.
Yeah.
And this is where they decide to do the Kessel Run.
Yeah. This is a nice little action sequence. And also, this is like, he's like, I was taught by the best street racer there ever was, but he died doing this exact move. That was pretty good.
They're getting away. They get stuck by, they get hit by an electrical burst in the Falcon, and everything kind of dies, and they kick it back on. And they, when they turn the lights back on, they're staring at an eyeball, and there's this giant nondescript Kraken, basically. I don't know what else you would describe it. An octopus?
It's a huge, like, it's a tentacle monster with tons of eyes.
Right. And we should say that, like, the L4, they say that has, like, the best
navigation, all the maps for the
everything.
Entire.
She's got everything. So they pull her CPU out.
Is L4 the advanced version of L3?
I believe. Is that what it is?
I don't know. You said L4, so
is it L3?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So they plug that CPU into the Falcon, and the Falcon now has all the maps. Mm. All maps.
Yes. And Lando now can just stick it wherever he wants.
Yeah, I guess that's fine.
Technically L3.
Yeah, it's all good.
Gas port, audio plug-in.
I hope they got that thing scotch-guarded.
Yeah, I don't know if you can get the audio plug-in. That's kind of small.
Well, not the big... You're thinking of the 1/8 jack.
That's true.
But the 1/4 jack. Oh, those are,
that still seems pretty small. I don't like to brag, but...
So they go through, and then they realize that there's like a black hole, basically. So Solo makes a move where this octopus creature kind of has to go into the hole first, but they're stuck. Like, they're getting sucked into the gravitational pull of this thing.
This was cool because this pull of this black hole rips the skin off this beast. Do you see it? Towards the end, its skin was going up and over it and flew into the black hole.
Like, it was a gnarly
looking image. It was cool.
So,
but the parts of the thing, the satellite dish flies off the Falcon. It's getting ripped apart.
Stop putting that satellite dish on. There's no point. I'm not. I feel like they paid
more
money.
It's never going to stay on.
So,
you know what they did? Maybe they got like a buy two, get two free.
Maybe.
So like,
we lose these
enough. We'll just buy two, get
right.
the extras.
Right, we'll just get the extra ones.
And whenever it rains in space, you don't get your TV.
They don't have a TV.
Cuts out.
Right. That's the
problem.
Why
they put one on the north and the south side. So that depending on where they turn, it faces
You're always good to go. Yeah. But they're stuck and they can't get anywhere. So they decide if we shoot like a couple drops of
Someone comes up with this brilliant plan. I don't know which one of them does it. Someone
we should
suggests.
Also say that the stuff, the
unobtainium.
Well, no, like the un, what do you call it?
Unrefined
stuff has like a time limit where like
if
it gets hot enough, it's going to explode.
That's what they're saying is they keep it in this like frozen, whatever contained location. And once it's out, it warms up and it will explode. So that's why they're in a race against time. And they end up saying like, we will never make it to whatever refinery island unless there's just the math doesn't add up. And that's when he's like, I'm going to do the Kessel Run or whatever. And they're all like, no, you can't. And he's like, well, what other
choice do we have?
Yeah. So it's a race against the clock.
Right. So they take Woody Harrelson takes a little bit of the unobtainium and like squirts it into like the fuel injector, whatever. And it gives it
checks
the extra.
Out. It I did does. All the math. And
perfect.
That's
perfect.
How it works.
And I like where it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't work right away.
I was like, how are they going to get it? It's a good little head fake moment.
Right. And then of course it works and they get out of the thing. But the hole is closing. Like their exit is closing quickly. So he kind of is like, hey, you remember that thing that we did when we were on that weird planet? And she's like, yeah, but it didn't work. He's like, oh, it will now. And he like these two rocks are closing in and obviously it won't go in horizontally. So they turn the Falcon vertical and it right through the thing and they get out. It was a cool looking scene. Like this is a really good looking scene. So then we go to the refinery planet and they land and
it's a very poor planet. Like everybody looks like they're living in like shambles and their clothes are all torn. It's a very, no one's taking care of this refinery. It's kept alive, I guess, just enough to do this refinery, but it's not. And I guess this may be another commentary on like, Woody Harrelson, I believe, says that this is outside of the Empire's jurisdiction.
It is, yeah.
So the Empire, therefore, isn't taking care of them or running any government. So, like, they're their own little island, but they're fending for themselves.
Correct.
So.
And this is a good scene where we get, like, so they land the Falcon, and the Falcon is in disarray. And Lando and Han are both looking at it, and Han's kind of got his arm on Lando, and he's just like, yeah, that was a lot of fun. He's like, I hate you.
Yeah.
Lando's just like, I hate you. I don't ever, like...
There's an earlier scene, I think. I don't think it's here, but I like how Lando says, "I hate you," and Han goes, "I know."
I know.
That's a nice little twist on it.
It's this scene right here where they're talking to each other. And he's like, "I'm going to go to my quarters alone, and you let me know when this is done, and you can give me my cut after that." Yeah. And he's like, "All right, see ya."
Yeah.
So
they're looking at this Falcon, and it's like halfway buried.
It looks like the Falcon that we've seen before.
Yeah,
like this is the Falcon that we know.
It's destroyed, but also, I mean, Han did save their lives, so like it's definitely in jest. Like honestly, they wouldn't be there without Han. So
right.
I mean, he can't be too mad, but his ship is
destroyed. Yeah. So we go back, and this is where Emilia Clarke and Kira and Han again, like, are having this interaction where they're. It's obvious that they're together, and she is super stable. Like, she falls back into that same girl from the previous planet where they first met. But there's also a little bit of a darkness.
She's also like,
she's got some darkness.
What are you
going to
do next? And he's like, "What do you mean, me?" I mean, he's basically like "What are we? We're going to have enough money to do this?" And you get the sense that she's going to lay it on him. Like, "I can't." And we know that she has some commitment.
She's got something going on.
She has a tattoo, which is the symbol that's related to her boss and whoever he's working for. Like, something has happened where you know that it's not going to wrap up neatly.
Right.
But we didn't mention earlier, but we know that the mercenaries said that they put a tracking device on the Falcon.
Correct.
When it first leaves, so they're like, "We'll just let them do all the work, and we'll take the unobtainium.
We'll follow it from there."
So we know they're going to be.
They're coming.
Yeah.
So the guy's just like, "You go up to the bar, you wait for the thing to be done, and then you come get it." So they go up, they ask for a brandy, and then they turn around, and all of the mercenaries are there, and it's a big mess. So this is where
we get the reveal where the mercenary doesn't like. There's like a standoff, right?
Yeah,
Solo does this. I think this is great. I think at this point you're so with him being Solo, and you've watched this whole movie, and when he tries to talk his way out of, you know, Woody Harrelson's like, "Let me do my thing,"
and Solo
just goes up and starts talking. He's like, "We've got 30 people waiting for you in that ship, and all I have to do is snap my fingers,
and then
the Falcon flies away."
Lando takes off, and he just kind of like
and
walks
backwards. And he goes, "Do your thing.
You do your thing."
Yeah, it's great.
It was very good.
And but like
that also feels like something that's left over.
Yeah,
I agree.
You know,
yeah,
but it's in character.
Yeah, he's earned it at this point. Like, the more you watch this movie, and again, I had forgotten that Solo, not totally forgotten, but you know what I mean? Like, Harrison Ford was Solo, but this is Solo now, and we've gone on this adventure, and I think he does a really good job, and at this point, I'm on board, totally on board, where I'm just like, that's the character. You nailed it.
Is he on Okay.
No.
But Tatooine is where...
Because they keep talking about going to Tatooine.
Right, so this is before this is right before episode 4. Because
he hasn't even gone to work for Jabba yet. What they allude to, like, there's some stories in here before.
That's
this
true.
Is not right.
So okay, so he's going
They've
to Tatooine
heard.
To work for Jabba.
Yes,
got it.
But who knows what adventures he got in screwing up the stuff for Jabba? Like, there's
You're
some
right.
time.
You're right. Yeah.
But this is how we're going to find out. The cliffhanger is, you know, I've heard about this gangster because Woody Harrelson tells him it's clearly Jabba, and we know that Han screws over Jabba and owes him money in four. So we're going
to
see the adventure, and we're
leading
gonna see
up
Han.
To that. Yeah. It's interesting. They may pull a Rogue One, and this may lead right up to Luke and Obi-Wan walking up to them in the cantina in the third Han, in the third Solo.
I can very easily see how that. Yeah. So anyway,
Woody Harrelson
takes her helmet off.
Right.
This is where you think the mercenaries are going to kill him. There's a whole bunch of different heights. There's a really short one, which clearly is Warwick Davis. Takes off his
Has he been in all of them?
If not, close. He was an Ewok.
Yeah.
He was, what was he in the last one? Was he
like a senator or something?
I swear he did something in the newer ones. He's been in a lot of these movies. Yeah. So he's one of them. But also there's another character who I don't know all the alien names, but there's someone, and I'll try to find it. But each mercenary that pulls off their helmet is a different like species.
Uh-huh.
Right. And so what the main person that they hold on, the young woman, says is that the Empire has destroyed all of our planets.
Yeah. They're like the lone survivors.
Yeah. So we are going to try to take back and stop this. And so this is the beginning of the rebellion.
Yeah,
And so they're basically like, we can't let this Voss guy get this fuel because, you know, they're working for someone that wants to destroy.
It'll be game
you know?
Over.
Yeah.
Like, it'll give him too much power that we need to stop.
And so this is where these two, Harrelson's character and Solo, come at odds because Solo is like, we can't let them do this. He's starting to get this, like, good guy. You know, he's right. not just this smuggler. He's you know,
he's a good guy.
He's a good guy at yeah. this point. And Harrelson's like, you can do what you want to do, but I'm leaving.
I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And he leaves. So Solo goes back and has that interaction with Amelia Clark, where they devise this plan. We don't know what the plan is yet, but we know that there is a plan. Because he explains it to Woody Harrelson, where he's, but you never hear the plan. Like, Amelia Clark's like, what are they talking about over there? And she's like, he might be helping you out right now. So we cut back to Woody Harrelson and Solo, and he's just like, that's a good plan.
This guy, Bosk. He's one of the mercenaries, but he's a main, you know, you've seen this guy before.
Yeah.
In the other Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
So his name is Bosk.
Okay.
So, you know, just a nice little homage there to throw in an existing character. So he's one of these lone survivors.
Right. So she's just kind of like, we don't know what the plan is, but we know that Woody Harrelson is not on board. So he books. He goes back. Paul Bettany shows up, and Amelia Clark and Solo, Kira and Solo, take the unobtainium, what you believe to be the unobtainium, up to him. And he's just like, here you go. That's all you need. I'm going to.
Well, Solo tries to drop the cases and run. And he's like, what's in there?
I'll just take my money and we'll go ahead and scoot.
Oh, and he also, you know, he's setting himself up for failure because he says Beckett's dead. And
right.
We're going to find out that Bettany knows he's not dead.
Correct. So he pulls out the unobtainium and he was just like, do I have to walk it over there? He's like, yeah, bring it on over. He's like, oh, Christ. So he goes over and he's like,
it looks pretty legit. I'm like, I don't know what they're pulling here.
And he's just like, you know, this would be pretty great if this was the real stuff. And of course, Solo's just like, nah,
what? Which it is. So like, that's especially really
well, he doesn't know that because he's got the information from Beckett.
Right. But Solo knows. So right. he's
playing the game.
This is a triple reversal. Of
it is. You know, it's like a triple cross.
Yeah. Cause Voss is surprised. Cause he's like, it looks just like the real stuff. I don't know how you did it.
Right.
And then here comes in Beckett.
Yeah. He's like, well, he says my associate told me about your plan. And of course the camera immediately pans to Amelia Clark. And
well, you're supposed to think, yeah,
right.
Not her.
So I thought it was going to be Lando.
I did too. Because of the old movies.
Right,
yeah, Empire.
Because they did it to him before.
Yeah,
you know?
I really thought it was going to be Lando. So right. that was good because that's the head fake. I think everyone, because of the history, knows because Lando flies off and you're like, it's going to be Lando.
But it's
Beckett. And so Beckett obviously told him the plan and he's alive. And so now he's, you know, he doesn't immediately kill Amelia Clark or anything, but he's like, I don't know. We'll deal with you later, but, you know, my trusted advisor is lying to me.
What would you do to the person that you've trusted the most?
This was a good scene.
Yeah. It's a very good writing.
The person I trusted the most betrayed me. I would divorce her and take her kids.
Isn't that what happened?
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Paul Bettany's character is under the assumption that the actual unobtainium is down here on this little island, or you know,
he's
down
acting
here in the
like
land.
He has a leg up because he's like, my guys are already there, and we expected they were going to be long gone and fly away with it.
Well, he says, Solo says to Beckett, and he was just like, "You told me to always trust human nature, and
humans
are predictable.
Yeah,
and you've done exactly what I thought you were going
to
do."
Yeah, at this point, Beckett, when he thinks that he's like, "Sorry, kid, but I told you don't trust anyone,"
right?
And it's cool because Han has learned more than he leads on,
right? So they go down, they you think you see all the villagers are surrounding, and they open up the canisters and there's nothing there. And then here come the marauders who were posing as the villagers. Like, it was just
the villagers were posing as marauders,
and then the marauders
come and attack all
and
of
they
them.
They
the
take
old
out
switcheroo.
The old double cross.
And they actually spare their lives. They like stand on them. You know, it's like,
yeah,
it's interesting.
They knock them out and take their weapons, but they let them go.
Yeah. I feel like, which was interesting because when they were trying to steal the unobtainium, I'm pretty sure the marauders were trying to shoot and kill all the
good
guys.
Absolutely, yes.
So I thought it was a little weird that like they were willing to do that there, but they didn't kill. I don't know if that was on purpose or they had a change of heart.
Maybe they're nice people.
I thought it was interesting that they were like shooting to kill, maybe because the unobtainium was on the line. Then.
Right.
And, but I just noticed that like they kind of tackled all of Voss's men. And,
yeah. They just pin them down and tie
them up.
And
then Solo's like, oh, so if all your men are down there.
I guess that and then this is where Woody Harrelson shoots the guys with the blasters. Mm-hmm. And he was just like, I like being the only guy with a blaster in the room.
Yeah. When
and
I'm
he was
negotiating.
Like,
or
right.
Whatever,
he's like,
yeah.
Big guy, you come with me. And they take the unobtainium and they close the door. And this is where it looks like Amelia Clark Kira is actually turned. Like, yeah. it's another good double fake, because they keep alluding that she is not on Solo's side.
Yeah, there's a big showdown where we see in the very beginning, the first time we see Voss, he kills a guy with this laser knife.
Yeah.
And so in this scene, he grabs two laser knives. Solo runs and grabs his blaster, and they're having a nice little standoff.
And then it's also nice because it kind of takes the place of a lightsaber fight.
It does.
Yeah,
you
still get that kind of a fight.
Because it's kind of the same lightsaber daggers.
It is kind of the same weapon. You don't get the sound effect, luckily.
Right.
They're just, they're smaller, but it's cool.
But Joe was doing for me the whole movie.
I was.
Glad I didn't sit next to you guys. So then Emilia Clarke is eyeing like a sword that one of the guards had, and you see it cut back and forth, and she picks it up, and you're like, oh, she's going to save the day.
Well, then she knocks over Han Solo.
She's got the
sword to Solo's throat.
Yeah.
And she was just like, she does have a good line where she's like, I have to make a decision or I'm stuck here.
Yeah, I told you that I've done things. And Bethany's like, you don't know all the things that she's done. But when she raises the sword, I thought we were going to get another like a head cut off type of scene, similar to Last Jedi when the thing goes through his head. Yeah. I'm like, she's going to raise it and then slice his head off. But she ends up doing kind of a cool like swing down and
stabs him in the chest.
Yeah,
and kills him.
The backwards, the cool. It's like replace the cool guys don't look at explosions. When a cool guy has a sword, you take it and put it behind you without looking.
Right.
That's just the new.
It's like the, when you throw a guy.
I don't think
with
it's
a,
new.
Yeah, it's not
that's,
really.
Bruce Willis did in Pulp Fiction.
That's true,
how
he
kills
the Gimp.
That's true. That's true.
Is it the Gimp
or is it Zed?
Oh, maybe it's Zed.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
I think he strangles the Gimp.
He does strangle the Gimp, yeah.
He's like, just look at, he's just like.
Right.
But it's funny because people think of that scene as being so violent.
You never see it.
You don't see a thing.
It's all
in your head.
You do see Ving Rhames getting raped, though.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yes.
But it was the 90s. We didn't care about that stuff back then.
Yeah. Oh. You could do that in the movies.
We didn't
have
triggers back then.
Right.
Jeez.
So.
Zed's dead.
Zed's dead, man. Yeah, so now that Solo and Kira are just kind of like, we got this. Like, we're going to get out of here. It's going to be great. She's like, we need some money to get the ship.
I'll be right behind you.
As soon as you hear, I'll be right behind you, it's like, well, obviously you're not going to be right behind her.
And Solo should have been like, yeah, the jewel's right there. I'll grab them. Let's go.
Let's scoot.
Like, that takes 2 seconds to get those jewels.
Right.
Because they're alluded to. She's like, hey, there's jewels over there. I got to kind of scrounge those up.
Yeah. So he's just, they have a moment. And I think.
Nice little smirk.
He books, and she's like, smile. At first, I was like, are you telling him to smile? But I had to pee at one point, so this must have been the line that I missed.
Oh.
Where she's like, you asked me what I think about, or what word do I think of, or something.
I don't know. What did you catch?
I knew there was a connection.
There was
a time earlier, I think, when she was starting to say, like, I think, and then they get interrupted.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
And, when they first meet Voss or something?
Something like that, yeah.
Either way, it's something that she's like, this is what I thought about.
Of running away, like, being on adventures with you, I smile.
Yeah, okay.
And so he was just like, he gives a little smirk. And she's like, I'll be right behind you.
Yeah.
And the door is closed, and Solo takes off, and she kind of walks over to Paul Bettany's body.
She does give him his dice back earlier, we should mention.
She does, yeah.
To where, like, when they're, so he has the dice, and then he gives them to her.
Right.
And then she gives it back. So the whole time, you know that she's held on to these. And then when they're in the, like, unobtainium stealing section, she hands them back to him when he's in handcuffs.
He's like, oh, good luck.
So he's got his dice back at this point, for whatever that means.
Well, because it's weird. It's interesting that this dice have become such a thing, because they were a plot point in Last Jedi.
Right. And you only saw them one time before that. You see them in A New Hope, and that's the only time you ever see it.
Right, and now that we've seen them they play a pretty pivotal, not pivotal, but major part in these movies.
It's neat that they're finding ways to connect the movies and the mythology without, like, they're not huge. Like, if you didn't know what those were, like, for the non-diehards that are just watching Solo, they're not going to get it. They're going to be like, oh, cool, dice. Like,
right.
But, like, we know as the nerds that is something.
They're his dice.
So it's that connective tissue. I like it when it's subtle like that.
Yeah.
And it is kind of cool to pay tribute to it, where it's like, those are the dice.
Yeah. So, and then she kind of picks up his ring, Paul Bettany's ring, and she plugs it into the very Bond-ish. The ring locator thingy. And we get it like a hologram. And I initially thought this was either Snoke or the Emperor.
Yeah, it looks like a Jedi Master Sith Master, Sith Lord. He's got the hood on, deep voice in a hologram.
Right, and we never heard Darth Maul speak before. Like, he never talks in A New Hope or in Phantom Menace. No, he just growls.
Hmm.
I don't think he ever talks. So they, you know, she kind of says Voss is dead, and she's like, and he's like, I'm assuming you're taking over. And he's like, where's the stuff? And she's like, it's gone. Like, it's a big mess over here.
It's nice how she doesn't throw Solo. Like, she says that Beckett stole it and it's right. gone. She doesn't mention that Solo did or anything. So it's nice that they're able to get the unobtainium off.
Right. The they give it to the Marauders.
Yeah.
And
so the Marauders
safe.
Take it to do their stuff. And, you know, she blames it on Beckett. But this guy is like, all right.
And,
you know.
And he takes the hood down. And it's, yeah. I mean, it was a good reveal.
I think that was a great. Would you have ever guessed that?
No.
Especially because for people
that
don't watch.
Well, I didn't pay attention to Clone Wars, so yeah. I was like, I thought he was dead.
That's
like,
what I'm right. Yeah.
And I didn't either, but I just know from reading, you know, in the past, I've seen clips or someone told me, like, yeah, Darth Maul's in the Clone Wars. I'm like, how? He dies in Phantom Menace. And someone told me they gave him a
robot
torso.
Legs.
So, like, for the people that haven't, that don't know that cartoon, you would never see that coming because he's dead as far as you know.
Yeah.
I think it was a great reveal, and Darth Maul was a great villain that we got to see way too little of.
I think he could become as cool as Vader if they allow him to like be as cool as he looks.
I mean, Darth Maul is, I know he hasn't been around as long, but he is cooler than Vader. He does cooler stuff than Vader.
I don't know, Vader's pretty cool. Vader,
Vader's powerful, but like Darth, I just think the double-edged lightsaber.
But we get to see Vader do some badass stuff in Last Jedi. Like, that's the Vader that's cool, is where he's just like...
Are you talking about in Rogue One?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Rogue One, yeah. Where he's, like, you know, throwing guys in the air, and he's throwing people, and he's snapping necks, yeah. And he's crushing doors. Like, yeah. That's the Vader that
but,
is...
But, I mean, think about Darth Maul's lightsaber fight, and think about Darth Vader versus
all right.
Obi-Wan.
All fairness,
I mean,
he has the advantage of, like,
time.
They were... Yeah, choreographing fights totally different.
1999 compared
I'm
to...
I'm just saying, though, like, Darth Maul's cool. Like, yeah. He does some cool stuff.
He's also...
Stuff.
He's. I think Vader has that iconic look.
Totally.
Where Darth Maul has a pretty badass look.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think it's more nostalgia. It's Vader's been the big bad for this many years. I totally get what you're saying. I just mean, like, when you really think about the stuff that Darth Maul does, like, he's pretty badass.
Oh, yeah.
Where
absolutely.
Vader's just kind of, like, swinging around a lightsaber with one hand. Like,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But, yeah,
and he
kind
of says, he's like, you and I will be working very closely together.
I think this was a great reveal for a trilogy that I was not excited about before seeing this movie. And now that I know the villain, I'm way more excited.
It's interesting, like, these, they have a Marvel twist to these movies where it's like they give you some reveals or just like, oh, new characters. You know, like in Rogue One, we got Tarkin and we got Leia. In this one, we get Darth Maul. Like, we got Yoda in Last Jedi. So they're bringing back all of these characters.
They're using them judiciously.
Correct. Yeah. It's not like everybody's in Last Jedi.
Right.
You know, there's Hayden Christensen's Force Ghost or whatever. That's the right reaction you should have had.
Yeah. We don't have time for me to
So like I appreciate that like in these movies they're just like, oh, by the way, here's this one character that you've seen briefly, but you know exactly who it is.
I like movies that pay homage and tribute to the original source material that are, I mean, I guess the best way to put it is I like Easter eggs. I like little cute things that you have to watch multiple times and go, oh, that's clever how they did that. I don't like it when they shove it down your throat. I think the homages should be simple. You know what I mean?
I agree.
To work for the Easter eggs, not just like, you know, play the music and ramp it up or be like, wink, wink.
Play the Superman theme when you haven't earned the Superman theme, like stuff like that.
Yeah.
I
think they're handling the homage pretty well. And this one, like, there were a couple parts that were a little heavy-handed, but other parts were nice little tributes. Uh-huh. And I like the Lando stuff. I like how they put in
his theme,
his mythos.
Yeah.
And,
oh, sure.
And with the cards and all that. I think they did a lot of stuff that we knew was going to happen, but it was well-handled, and I like to see it.
Mm-hmm. So is this the first time? I'm trying to think, but I think I've seen all these movies once, and then I move on. But is this the first time we've seen a character from the first movies 1 through 3 pop up?
Yes. This is the first time because we've never seen Qui-Gon.
Well, Darth Sidious is the Emperor.
Yeah, but he runs
Palpatine
through.
Is the Emperor in all the movies.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
Technically.
No, I mean the character
in this Disney version of these movies.
A character that originated
in the prequels.
In the prequels.
Yes.
Because, I mean, yeah, then you would say C-3PO.
Darth Vader.
I
see what you mean.
Yeah. I mean, we've never seen Qui-Gon, and that would be one.
I heard that Jar Jar is going to be the hero of episode 9, though.
That would be so awesome. I would love it if they figured out a way to do that and make
it
cool.
He's a badass Jedi master. Oh, like, he's become a Jedi.
Well, have you ever seen the
Sith Lord?
The fan theory that he's a Sith Lord. He's there just to screw everything up. Like, I would love that.
If they did that and pull that off, it would be incredible.
Yeah.
Because I rewatched episode 1 lately, and honestly, like, I know a lot of people
are
like,
so bad.
It is. And a lot of people are like, oh, Jar Jar for kids, blah, blah, blah. No, I watched it. And if you would cut out all the Jar Jar stuff, that movie would be like, he ruins that movie.
They thought they had something too. Oh, I mean, he was on the cover of Rolling Stone.
He's in every other scene. It's so bad.
His toys were outselling everything on that line.
I don't know.
Until it came out.
But yeah, as an adult, rewatching those movies, he is so bad in a stupid way. Not like, oh, I get it, it's cute for kids. Like, no, he ruins that movie. And I know that's harsh, but he does. If you edit him out, and I want to do it, like, because every time there's something cool or serious happening, he comes
Misa,
in.
Misa.
He comes in and does his pratfalls or whatever. Yeah. And it's like, no, the tone was good until they had to interact with him.
Uh-huh.
And cut that out. And I mean, he is cringe inducingly bad.
Oh, yeah.
It's absolutely. I'm not trying to be mean to the guy. Like, it's bad.
It's not
I
the
feel
actor's
bad
fault.
For the actor.
No, it's not his. He did a great job doing that, but the character's so out of place.
It's funny. Whenever I see somebody with like three lines in a movie like this,
yeah.
I'm always like, well, you can work cons the rest of your life. Right.
Yeah,
no matter what.
He's Jar Jar.
But. Can Jar Jar?
I think so.
Does he go to cons?
Yeah,
do people
probably.
Care? Do they just? Or is it like?
Because I think he's
or does
done
he
other
does
stuff.
Does he like run a dunking booth?
Would you really want to get a picture?
He sits next to Virgil from the old Million Dollar Man's valet.
Yeah.
Where he's just
yeah.
like, sure, $25.
I
all
can't
right, five
imagine.
Bucks.
I mean, I know somebody would, but I can't imagine the way people hate Jar Jar.
Like some completist.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Right.
But
right.
But yeah, like it's the one example of the guy who's like, oh, I can at least work it. Cons the rest of my life. Oh wait,
no, I can't.
Everybody hates.
Oh, the
everybody
guy that ruined Phantom
me.
Menace. I do feel so bad.
I'm a one
guy.
Man Ishtar.
Yeah,
yeah.
And otherwise, you know, Brolin's next to him, being like $100. They're like, yes, please, sir.
Yeah. 150. Why not?
All right, like, we'll pay that too.
No, they're suggesting. They're
oh,
like,
yeah, right.
you deserve it.
So yeah, so Solo Beckett has gotten away with the unobtainium. And again, I don't know how the hell Solo got there so fast, but
I don't know. How, I thought the exact same thing. How did they start that far ahead?
I don't know.
And he somehow ended up on the
he
other side.
He somehow circumvented like walking past them. Like he just walked around them and then he shows up in front
that
of them.
That was a really weird. Yeah. I'm glad you noticed it too. I wasn't going to say anything, but I'm like, huh?
You know, it's funny. They do that in like Superman movies and it's like, okay, makes sense.
Well,
like
yeah.
The Flash. Like,
sure.
Of course. Yeah. But it's Han Solo.
It was weird.
Yeah.
But okay.
And this is the line. This was brilliant, where
they did the Magnificent Seven.
Magnificent Seven, where Woody Harrelson Beckett is going to give
you haven't
Solo,
learned anything from me.
And he's like, I'm going to give you this final lesson. Pew!
Yeah.
And shoots him in the chest.
Shot first.
Yeah,
he shot first.
He shot first.
That's what
that's
I loved
exactly
about it.
What I
finally
like, yes,
he shot first.
They are was, owning that.
Yeah.
I
yeah.
mean, because this is the same character that, you know, it's like this is Disney, and are they going to try to Disneyfy him? And I think
they did a little bit
huh.
in that you saw him.
Oh, pull the trigger.
You saw Beckett, like, finger the trigger.
That's true.
Like, you knew. Yeah, who are well, hey, if Lando can have sex with a robot, he can blow his own gun.
That's right.
But you see him play with the trigger to where, like, you know that,
he's
like,
clicked the safety off.
Yeah,
whatever,
like,
yeah.
This is going to, whatever you do to a gun, I
right.
don't know. But
it's in self-defense.
Yeah. Well, he also says, I was going to kill you.
Yeah,
I know.
And Solo's like, no, I go.
But yeah. but they have the cake and eat it too.
But it also kind of retcons because it's like no, he's good at guessing when he's about to get shot.
Yeah,
he knows when he needs to shoot first.
Right.
Yeah.
So they have their cake and eat it
too. Right.
Yeah.
Like in the original cut, he shoots first.
Yes. The theatrical cut, he always shoots first.
And then in the re-release,
the special edition,
they fix it to where he.
Lucas
like
made it so that Greedo shoots and then Han does.
Got
the
it.
Shot.
Got yeah.
So
got it,
dumb.
Got it. I have
so
both
dumb.
Versions of that too. Like I figure I should know that.
What was there an explanation that we were trying to make Han be a better person? Because
he's a hero, and so he shouldn't just kill.
He's a
someone.
Scoundrel.
Yeah.
You know, it's like
right. It's also called a character arc.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. He becomes a hero.
Right.
Yeah.
That is so dumb.
So yeah, he and Chewie kind of take off. The Marauders get the unobtainium. Him and Chewie go on. They stick together, which is great. Like,
they've
of
heard
course,
of Beckett said that there's this gangster that he was going to go work for,
and now and we know that where that's going.
Yeah, that's the Hutts.
And then we get a little bit of, it's kind of a post credit sequence where you get like the bookend of this, and then the post credit. It's not really, you don't just sit through anything.
It's the last scene.
It's the last scene. Yeah. And
in another movie, it would have been the post credit.
Correct.
Scene.
Yeah. Correct.
Or mid credits.
Mid credits.
They show up to another crappy cantina.
Right. And
there's Lando telling his story.
Lando's like, "Oh, you're alive." He's like, "Yeah, I'm alive." And he's like, "Well, where's my cut?" And he was like, No. There is no cut. Yeah. Like, you bailed on us.
And it looks like Han's going to kill him or something, but he goes in for a hug.
Well, no, he puts his hand out. Like, Lando puts his hand out to shake his hand, and Han sees the thing on his arm.
Yeah.
So then he goes in, and he grabs him by the arm,
right,
pulls him
but
in.
But he thinks he's going to hurt him, but right, he hugs him, but he's actually stealing the card, correct, out of the little holster. Yeah.
So he's like, "What do you want to say? One more game?" He's like, "You really have a heart on."
Cool,
because
the Marauders gave him one unobtainium capsule,
right.
It's worth about a buy-in, 10,000 credits.
10,000, yeah, whatever.
And he's just like, "You really have a hard on for that for my girl, don't you?" And he was like, "Well, it's mine. Like, she belongs to me."
For the ship, to be clear. Right, yeah, he doesn't want to screw the robot,
no, he
too.
Does not.
Let's be clear.
The robot's dead.
Han wants that ship.
That would be gross.
It would be gross.
Just screwing a dead robot. Disgusting.
But did you guys ever think that the robot is plugged into the navigation system of the Falcon, and yeah, Han's going to win the Falcon?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So where's L3 been? Why is L3?
I think
L3's
so. I think of it as like it's just her. It's just the nav computer,
right?
Yeah. So
like I don't think she talks anymore,
okay,
or anything.
Okay.
Like,
yeah,
she's,
I think
just,
it's just the computer.
They're using like her framework or right, whatever. Yeah,
that's fine. Then I thought it was gonna be like a HAL situation, and I go, "I know how this ends. He gets the Falcon, and now they've downloaded L3. So
okie dokie. So then they're playing their game. Han goes all in, and just when Lando thinks he's got him by the balls.
He does the same thing that Lando does earlier.
Does, yeah, exactly.
But that's good, but...
Well, Lando goes to take the card, and he like looks. The camera pans down, the card's gone.
Yeah.
And Han wins, and he takes the Falcon.
It would have been good if you had this little green card, and does the same thing. Sabak!
And wins,
yeah,
and gets the Falcon.
And then it's the
which
same...
I thought was an odd commentary on immigration.
It was, I mean, you know, he had to do what he had. Ron Howard, yeah, is very subliminal in,
right,
his messages. Yeah, that's true.
So then you see like them firing up all the buttons. It's a very iconic type,
yeah,
of shot.
All the
Falcon.
Clicks and the, you know.
And you probably get the Star Wars theme, I'm guessing, again.
I don't think you do.
Yeah, I don't remember.
And he hangs the dice, and that's it. Yeah, I thought this was, for all of the hoopla surrounding this movie about how bad it was and all the things they had to do. I really, this is a lot of fun.
If I've ever been worried.
Fun. Like, how long has it been since a Star Wars movie has been fun?
Just straight, yeah, up
this
fun.
Just straight up fun.
Yeah.
If I've ever been worried about one of these big movies, you know, like, we learned to stop worrying about Marvel a long time ago. Mm-hmm.
We still,
I mean,
worry about DC.
DC, we know.
We're right to.
But I... If I've ever been worried, it's this one. And again, the casting I wasn't on board with, and all the just the bad press and rumors. Mm-hmm. But seriously, again, I think 15-20 minute adjustment. You meet Woody Harrelson, the war, all the action scenes. They're so well done. And once it gets going, once he meets Harrelson, it never stops.
No,
it's fun. It's nonstop. It's not a lot of chit chat. I mean, they're on an adventure. They're pulling heists. And I really, by the end of this movie, I'm like, okay, 8 and 9, Rick is Han.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's really good.
Yeah,
I
heard they've already signed him for a reboot of Regarding Henry.
The Witness?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's the new Indiana Jones.
I was going to say, what if they made him the new Indiana, like, he just takes over all the Han Solo roles? Like,
but yeah, we don't have anything else in the pipeline besides 9.
Yeah.
And we don't know anything about that, and we won't know anything
about
that.
But I'm sure they do.
Oh, they do.
We don't know.
We don't know.
But I bet they do.
Yeah.
So this just came out, and we have a whole nother year and a half before episode 9. So I'm guessing once this settles down and once they start announcing things for 9, they'll make a big announcement, probably at Star Wars Celebration, which
guess,
is in Chicago.
Oh, yeah?
Next year.
Nice.
It's always been in Indy or California, so it's drivable for 5 hours for us. And
for you.
And... Oh, you don't like those type of?
No, it's just that's like, I love conventions.
Yeah.
Not that convention. Okay.
It's like, fun. Like, I've seen Carrie Fisher, which I'm glad I got to see Carrie, yeah, Fisher. I saw George Lucas. I saw Ray Park. You know, I've seen a lot of the like main Star Wars people talk. And
right.
It's cool to be,
that's
in the same
cool
room with them, you know? But yeah, I think once they're promoting 9, they'll drop the title and what the next one's about,
yeah,
to kind of help. I don't think so.
Obi-Wan.
I think they were on track with that Lando rumor, but Kathleen Kennedy still says she wants to. She'd like to.
I could see it being Obi-Wan or Lando.
I hope they do an Obi-Wan.
That dude deserves
Ewan McGregor.
Ewan McGregor deserves a second shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. That wasn't cool. His fault.
No, that was not his,
yeah,
fault.
No.
So there you go.
Yeah, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at KevinRBracket, and also follow all the spoilers and subscribe to Show Spoilers, where right now we're spoiling Westworld for you.
Yeah.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers or online at RealSpoilers.com, on Twitter at Real Spoilers, or our Patreon account where you can get all sorts of extra goodies for just $5 a month at Patreon.com/Real Spoilers. So that's it for this one. I honestly don't know what's next.
Upgrade!
Upgrade?
I hope so.
Okay. So maybe it's upgrade if Joe has his way. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Gerard recognizes the gun that killed Newman as Royce's.
To all you beta haters out there, we'll blow your planet up.
What does thy bidding, my master?
It's a disaster, Skywalker, we're after.
What if he can be turned to the dark side?
Yes, he'd be a powerful ally, another dark Jedi.
He will join us or die. We got Death Star. 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 We got Death Star.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.